Chapter 54. A silver-clad Rolls-Royce was parked amongst the trees in the misty morning. Ahead was the practice track, with the white-painted railings curving away towards the willow-lined river. The mist was heavier along the river, and the grass was very green against it. The uniformed chauffeur stood away from the Rolls, leaving its two occupants in privacy. They sat on the back seat with an angora wool travelling rug spread over their knees. On the folding table in front of them was a silver thermos of coffee, shell-thin porcelain cups, and a plate of ham sandwiches. The fat man was eating steadily, washing each mouthful down with coffee. The little bald-headed man was not eating. Instead, he puffed quickly and nervously at his cigarette and looked out of the window at the horses. The grooms were walking the horses in circles, nostrils steaming in the morning chill, blankets flapping. The jockeys stood looking up at the trainer. They wore hard caps and polo neck jerseys. All of them carried whips. The trainer was speaking urgently, his hands thrust deep into the pockets of his overcoat. "It's a very fine service," said the little man. "I particularly enjoyed the stop in Rio, my first visit there." The fat man grunted. He was annoyed. They shouldn't have sent this agent out. It was a mark of suspicion, distrust, and it would seriously hamper his market operation. The conference between trainer and jockeys had ended. The diminutive riders scattered to their mounts, and the trainer came towards the Rolls. "Good morning, sir," he spoke through the open window, and the fat man grunted again. "I'm giving him a full run," the trainer went on. "Emerald Isle will make a pace for him to the 5. Paternoster will take over and push him to the mile. I've got Tiger Shark to pace him for the run in." "Very well. Perhaps you'd like to keep time, sir." The trainer proffered a stopwatch, and the fat man seemed to recover his urbanity and charm. "Thank you, Henry," he smiled. "He looks good, I'll say that." The trainer was pleased by the condescension. "Oh, he's red hot. By Saturday, I'll have him sharpened down to razor edge." He stood back from the window. "I'll get them off then." He walked away. "You have a message for me?" asked the fat man. "Of course." The other wriggled his moustache like a rabbit's whiskers. It was an annoying habit. "I didn't fly all this way out here to watch a couple of mokes trotting around a racetrack." "Would you like to give me the message?" The fat man hid his affront. What the agent had called a moke was some of the finest horse flesh in Africa. "They want to know about this gas explosion." "Nothing." The fat man dismissed the question with a wave of his hand. "A flash explosion. Killed a few men. No damage to the workings. Negligence on the part of the miner in charge." "Will it affect our plans?" "Not one iota." The two horses had jumped away from the start, shoulder to shoulder, with the wreaths of mist swirling in their wake. The glossy bay horse on the rails ran with an easy floating action while the grey plunged along beside it. "My principals are very concerned." "Well, they have no need to be," snapped the fat man. "I tell you, it makes no difference." "Was the explosion due to an error of judgment on the part of this man Ironsides?"
"No."
The fat man shook his head. "It was negligence of the miner in charge. He should have detected the gas."
"Pity." The bald man shook his head regretfully.
"We had hoped It was a flaw in the Ironside's character. The grey horse was tiring, while the bay ran on smoothly, drawing away from him. From the side rail, a third horse came in to replace the grey and ran shoulder to shoulder with the bay. "Why should the character of Ironsides concern you?" asked the fat man. "We have heard disturbing reports. This is no pawn to be moved at will. He is taking the job of general manager by the throat. Already our sources indicate that he has reduced running costs on the Sonder Ditch by a scarcely believable 2%. He seems to be tireless, inventive, a man, in short, to reckon with." "Well and good," the fat man conceded. "But I still fail to see why your principals are alarmed. Do they expect that this man will hold back the flood waters by the sheer force of his personality?" The second pacemaker was faltering, but still the big bay ran on alone. A far figure in the mist, passing the milepost, joined at last by the third pacemaker. "I know nothing about horses," said the bald man, watching the two flying forms. "But I've just seen that one." He pointed with his cigarette at the far-off bay. "I've just seen him run the guts out of the other two. One after the other, he has broken their hearts and left them staggering along behind him. We would call him an imponderable, one who cannot be judged by normal standards." He puffed at his cigarette before going on. "There are men like that also. Imponderable. It seems to us that Ironsides is one of them, and we don't like it. We don't like them on the opposing team. It is just possible that he could upset the entire operation, not, as you put it, by sheer force of personality, but by suddenly doing the unexpected, by behaving in a manner for which we have not allowed." Both men fell silent, watching the galloping horses come round the last bend and hit the straight. "Watch this," the fat man spoke softly. And as though in response to his words, the big bay lengthened his stride, reaching out, driving strongly away from the other horse. His head was going like a hammer. Twin jets of steam shot from wide flaring nostrils, and thrown turf and dirt flew from his hooves. 5 lengths clear of the following horse, he went slashing past the finish line, and the fat man clicked his stopwatch. He scrutinized the dial of the watch anxiously, and then chuckled like a healthy baby. And he wasn't really being extended. He rapped on the window beside him, and immediately the uniformed chauffeur opened the driving door and slid in behind the wheel. "To my office," instructed the fat man, "and close the partition." When the soundproof glass panel had slid closed between driver and passengers, the fat man turned to his guest. "And so, my friend, you consider Ironsides to be an imponderable. What do you want me to do about him?" "Get rid of him." "Do you mean what I think you mean?" The fat man lifted an eyebrow. "No, nothing that drastic." The bald head bobbed agitatedly. "You have been reading too much James Bond. Simply arrange it that Ironsides is far and away and well occupied when the drive holes through the Big Dipper. Otherwise, there is an excellent chance that he will do something to frustrate our good intentions."
"I think we can arrange that," said the fat man, and helped himself to another ham sandwich.